Colossians chapter number 3. Paul was writing to the church at Colossae, or the Christians in Colossae, and in chapter 1 he gives thanks to God for these Christians, and talks about the supremacy of Christ and how Christ rules over all. In chapter 2 he talks about the fullness of Christ and what Christ can do for a believer and the fullness that he brings to a child of God. He finishes out chapter 3 with some stern warnings in regard to false teaching and to beware of those false teachings. Then in chapter 3, and I don't know where the Lord is leading with this, and we may be in chapter 3 again next Sunday, and but nonetheless, we're going to look at the first four verses this morning of chapter 3. Paul shifts gears a bit from talking, he goes from the fullness of life in Christ and those stern warnings against false teachings to the new life in Christ. And as a Christian, what we have to look forward to in Christ Jesus. So I want to read Colossians chapter number 3. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the teachings that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory." Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the fullness of life that you bring to us, for those that have trusted you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, we're thankful for this new life that you've given us, and Lord, for the glorious appearing that we long for, seeing your return. And Lord, I pray that even now, as I proclaim your word, God, that you would hide me behind that precious cross of Christ. Lord, that these dear folk not see me, but they would see you. Speak to our hearts this morning, God. May we listen, may we obey that you have called us to do. Lord, save that one that is lost, and bring that one that is backslidden to repentance. For whatever you do here this morning, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Paul is talking about being heavenly minded here. Notice in verse 1, he gives us the reality of our position. The reality of our position. Now, last week we looked in chapter 1, I believe it was, and we talked about what we were in darkness and how that Christ was the light. And here we find the reality of our position. Notice how he starts this. He says, "If you have been raised with Christ." Now, this is not a hypothetical if. It means since you have been. It's not something that you question, but more of an authoritative position here. It's not hypothetical, right? It's not in science you learn of the hypothesis is an if-then statement, meaning if this happens, then this will happen as a result. And Paul is saying that your life in Christ is not like that. It's since you have been raised with Christ. Notice what Paul says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. He says, "Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also must walk in the newness of life." Dear friend, that is one reason, that is the biblical reason for when you were baptized that you are immersed, right? That is, you are being buried to the deadness of sin, and you are raised to the newness that Christ brings to your life. And the water is symbolically a washing away of the sin, symbolism of the blood of Christ washing the sins away in your life. And so we are raised to walk in this newness of life. Dear friends, we are not trying to earn life, right? We already have life. We must live from it. We must change our life. And this is the point that Paul is saying here. You already have life, but Christ brings this newness of life to you. You are not who you used to be. You are not, you have been raised in a newness of life. And so we must live like it. I heard, of course, theologically, I don't agree with some of their teachings, but one of the, I call him one of the greats, Bishop G.E. Patterson from Memphis. He was a prominent pastor there in the Church of the Living God, and I heard him on the TV this morning, and he was preaching about a message and saying, you know, you don't have newness in life if you come to church on Sunday and are one way, but then you go into the parking lot and cuss someone out. He said, that's not the newness of life. And I thought how fitting that is. You know, when we are saved, there should be a change, right? That the old person is no longer who we used to be. We are a new creature, as Paul says in Corinthians. We've been raised to a newness of life in Christ, so we should live like it. So the reality of our position. Secondly, notice in the latter part of verse number 1 and into verse number 2, where Paul is saying, he says, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are in the earth. Seek those that are above. Set your minds to things that are above. Now let's break this down just a little bit. What does it mean to seek? To seek is an ongoing pursuit, right? It's not a one-time glance. It's making those heavenly priorities your life's pursuit. You are seeking after it. It's an ongoing pursuit. To set your mind, to fix your thoughts, these intentional mindsets. It's not just behavior. But it's a mindset, it's the values, it's the objectives that we have in this life. Christ is seated. I like that verse simply because this means that the work has been done. Right? Christ is seated and He's the reigning King and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father and He looks down upon us. And dear friend, as that King, one of these days, He's coming back, right? And He's sitting there and He is waiting. And so Christ being seated, we know that we have that finished work of the cross is done. All we as people have to do is believe and to pursue the things of God. Oh, earthly things. Paul does a unique contrast here. He talks about setting your attention and your mindset towards the heavenly things, not on those things in the earth. No, earthly things distract, right? We have so many distractions in this world. Many distractions as you drive. You know, so many times as I travel the interstate, I've seen, even though it's against the law, you know, people texting and driving, you know, having their phone. I passed one this morning last night on the interstate, and this is how I could see it so well. It was last night, and they had the phone on their dash of their car, and they were in a video chat with someone. Could you see the other person's face right there? I was like, you know, what are you doing? You know, there's so many things in this world distract us and pull us away from the things of God. You look at our churches today. I had a conversation this week with someone, and we were talking about the conditions of our churches, and churches today are not like they used to be, are they? Churches today, the attendance is not like it used to be, because what do we have? We have the wrong mentality. Well, I don't want to go to church with a bunch of hypocrites. I believe it was Adrian Rogers that said, or maybe it was Billy Graham, I can't remember. One of the two said one time, I'd rather go spend an hour in a church building with hypocrites knowing I was doing what I'm supposed to do than to spend an eternity in hell with them. That's a powerful statement. But where's our mindset? You know, our churches today are closing down because people don't care. Their priorities are not right. Their things, their minds are not seated or focused on heavenly things, but instead of the earthly. Earthly things distract, but those heavenly things is what anchors us. They anchor us. A compass. I have a necklace that I wear most of the time, and on that necklace is a charm. It's just a compass, and it's always pointing north. You know, if you have a compass, it points north, right? That's how you use it, and it tells you the direction. The compass always points north, and the true believer's north is heaven. And so our focus should always be on those heavenly things. Notice in verse 3, we've seen the reality of our position being raised in Christ. The priority of our pursuit should be on those heavenly things. But notice in verse 3 here, where Paul says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." We find the mystery of our life. The mystery of our life. Galatians chapter 2, Paul, again, is writing, he's to the church of Galatia, and it's one of my favorite scriptures. It says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, "It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." What is Paul saying here? The spiritual death to the old self, right? He's saying that Christ is the one who lives in me, and because Christ died for me and he lives in me, the life that I used to live is no longer. He tells the Corinthians where he's a new creature in Christ, a new being, that the old self is gone. This hidden life, this secret security and identity and mystery. The world doesn't see who you are fully. We have many people that in our society today that claims many identities, right? They self-identify as one thing or another, and some have their identity stolen. You know, you see commercials on TV about various services that are available that have or protection against stolen identity. The world doesn't see who you fully are. But dear friend, rest assured this morning, God does. God knows who you are. And God knows where your heart is. And He knows where your priorities are. And no matter how things may look here, your life is secure and safe in Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here, that you are identified as Christ and in Christ, and because of that, you are safe and secure. Makes me think of the old song, "I'm sheltered in the arms of God." Despite as bad as things may look here, we have something to look forward to. And that's what he talks about in verse 4. But he says, "When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory." So we've seen that the reality of our position, the priority of our pursuit, and the mystery of our life. But then we see the glory of our future. The glory of our future. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Christ is our life now. And He is our destiny forever. Even though our future, in some people will say, our future is uncertain, right? I can't tell you, even in the midst of all that is happening in our world, people say, oh, it's uncertain times. I beg to differ. It's not uncertain. We are certain, we know, right? We know what is happening, and we are certain of one thing, that our future is not uncertain, but it is glorious. Our future is not uncertain because we know in whom we have placed our trust and our faith in, and so we know that this life, sure, it's got its ups and downs, right? It's got its disappointments, it's got its hurts, it's got its troubles, it's got trials, it's got all of these things that come to us. Oh, but the life to come. What a glorious thought. That this is the Christian's hope. The future resurrection and glory. It's not just surviving, right? But glorifying. You know, as mentioned this morning, has been mentioned probably every week. Some will ask, well, how are you doing? Well, I made it, right? And that's great, right? And we glorify God in the fact that we made it, right? It's more than just surviving, but we are glorifying. Thanking God that we have another day, right? Another time, another opportunity. We live in the already, but not yet. We now live in light of the glory that is to come. Where are you setting your mind and your heart this morning? What are you seeking most in life? You know, we often seek after success, right? We seek after attention. Lord, you see enough people out there today getting the attention, right? They're 5 minutes of fame, right? Where are our hearts at? Are we living out this hidden, risen identity? Or are we still clinging to the old? Let the hope of glory shape your daily walk. Stop living as if you belong to the grave, and live as one who belongs to glory. I've said this oftentimes as I've officiated funerals down through the years, and our hearts are saddened, right? Sad occasion. Sometimes they are expected, sometimes not so much. But we have that blessed hope that for a child of God, that grave is not the end. You know, everybody seems to think this is the end. And maybe it's a bit morbid to even be thinking about it, but I'm just pointing it out this morning for this very simple reason. The grave is not the end, but it is the beginning. And for a child of God, it is a beginning of things that eye has not seen nor ear has heard. Amen? And we have that to look forward to. Well, the believer this morning, I encourage you to live upward, to live forward, and to live in Christ. First one that may be seeking. You cannot set your heart above. unless you've been raised with Christ. May I encourage you to come to Him and live. Fix your eyes and heart on Christ, not on this passing world. Paul said that, no, it wasn't Paul that said this. I believe it was Jeremiah that said this, that life is as a vapor. It is here today, it is gone tomorrow. All these nice things will fade away. I was at my mom's yesterday, and we went out to the back of the yard and out on the old deck that they had built onto the house back when I was a kid, right? And age has gotten to it, right? I mean, of course, I think it'd be safe to say age gets to all of us, right? But certainly for outdoor lumber, it wasn't treated properly. And some of the boards, you know how they do, they were kind of bowed. Some were already rotten and broken in. And there were two of the, like the statue figurine type things that you put around like goldfish ponds. They had a built-in goldfish pond into this deck. And as we was walking out there, my dad, my mom, and I, we were talking about where the old oak tree used to be and all the memories of our, you know, the young days, right? And as I looked over at this deck that was falling in, I was like, man, that really shows the years, right? They had that outdoor furniture that was on it that had done rusted down and parts of it kind of crumbling from the rust. And I was like, man, this, you know, this stuff's old. Because I remember being a kid, probably not even in my teens yet, when all this was built and put on. And Mom said, well, it may all be old. She said, but here's one thing for certain. They got a lighthouse, little lighthouse about this tall. That's every bit of 20, 25 years old at this point. She said, every night, that lighthouse still works. After all these years, she said, it's the only thing that works. But she said, that lighthouse still works. And I thought, wow, you know, it shows its age. It's done kind of tipping over a little bit. All these things fade away. But dear friend, eternity is eternal. And the decisions we make today effect that eternity. Choose Christ today and live. We'll extend a hymn of invitation, just one verse this morning before we close and enter into our business session, but just want to give you the opportunity. Perhaps your heart is not where it needs to be. Maybe you've been saved for many years, and maybe your heart just isn't where it needs to be. Maybe you're still holding on, much like the church at Colossae and Philippi and Galatia. They held on to that law for so long, and they was intermingling paganism and all this other in their Christian way. Maybe you're still holding on to those old ways of life. Would you simply be as Paul and say, I give it all. I give it all to you, Lord, as we sing.